Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. Quarter number three coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. Obviously, the news from the weekend, Grant Toutant, the four-star offensive tackle from Michigan. Sunday night, flips from Penn State to Ohio State, really without a lot of warning. He was one of six offensive line commits in the 2020 class to that point. Penn State, I use a, you know, air quotes, you can't see it, down to five offensive line commits in the 2020 class. Whether that number rises or not might depend on how much they value the targets left on their board. I wouldn't say that losing Grant Toutant is a big void in the 2020 class just because of all the numbers, but I think it's safe to say, Greg, that Penn State is in the market big time for true offensive tackles, and they've got several candidates, I think, in the 2020 class so far. But I think anytime you lose a kid who was trending up, who was 6'7", 320 pounds, who looked like, you know, he was really just starting to realize some of that potential, it stings. But at the same time, they've got plenty of bodies there, which is more than they can say about their 2019 depth chart, which is why we're having this conversation in the first place.
Right.
Projection about 19, and then looking ahead into the future as well.
Yeah. It's hit or miss to me on the Toutant thing, because you can look at it one of two ways. One of it can say, well, you identified this kid early, you offered him as a three-star, he's now a four-star, and clearly was going to be a developing player. The other side of you can say, well, why was he a three-star? What deficiencies are there in his game? And how long was it going to take for those to be fixed? So there's no sugarcoating it. I mean, it's been a pretty brutal run here for Penn State on the recruiting front. I know they obviously just picked up the receiver commit, and that's fine and well, but who's getting excited about a guy with no offers deciding to commit on the spot once you give him his first? I mean, he might turn out to be a tremendous player, he might not, but it's not moving the needle much, especially when you're losing kids to Ohio State like Penn State has with Julian Fleming and now Grant Toutant. So as it relates specifically to the offensive line, this is still a tremendous class of commitments that Penn State has. And I think the good news is I don't really see any decommits coming out of that group. But then again, this time last week, I would not have told you that I thought Grant Toutant was a flip risk. So that's obviously something that's new and something Penn State has to address, because this is a kid that, again, has said all the right things leading up to today and leading up to this weekend, and then all of a sudden he decides to move on.
We know, looking at Penn State's 2019 depth chart and the fact that Anthony Wigan is probably going to be in that four-man rotation, you knew that obviously losing Nana Asidu to his heart condition, he's forced to give up football before he even got a chance to play at Penn State. That's something that disrupts the chain of depth. Mm-hmm. And that's always something interesting, because you recruit and you prepare for certain scenarios, worst case scenarios, best case scenarios. You have to incorporate all that stuff. I don't think they were really prepared, and really how could they have been for something like that? And then you add Ryan Bates leaving a year of eligibility on the table, which we'll see how that works out for him. The Eagles seem to have liked what he brings to the table, which is some versatility and some toughness. And I wouldn't be surprised at all for him to carve out a 6-8-10 year NFL career as is. But the fact of the matter is Ryan Bates did not get drafted. I don't think they really they might not have circled his name as one to really expect to leave eligibility on the table. If he's still at Penn State, you're not really having the same conversation right now about the state of the offensive tackles. Right now,
right,
it's Rashid Walker or bust. Yeah, obviously you have Will Fries, who's got a ton of experience through two years of playing, and now you have Rashid Walker as presumably the other starter. There are questions about that, and there are questions about depth. There are questions about whether they can withstand some injuries. And then, you know, obviously in the 2019 class, they weren't heavy on true tackles there either. So that's why we're all at this point in 2020 where they're trying to seek out as many offensive linemen as they can.
Right. And like I said, last segment, I think you're going to see them go for, you know, maybe one, if not two more. It's not a rush. It's not a race. You don't have to go find a Grant Toutant replacement today or tomorrow or, you know, by the end of the week. But you do have to, I think, find you know, some top targets that are out there, because you're probably going to lose Michael Carmody to Ohio State. That's the way it looks at this point. So that's a loss that Penn State, you know, could suffer at some point here before August. And that leaves you pretty much Anton Harrison, unless you're going to go out and find some more tackles to offering. And typically speaking, it doesn't work out too well for you when you go and offer a tackle or a guard at this point in the cycle, because there's a reason that guy hasn't earned an offer yet. So sometimes guys develop late and they come onto the scene and are worth it. But for the most part, you've done your work in that position group, and now you have to just land the guys that are out there. Penn State has some names on the board for sure, but it's not a ton.
So in the 19 class, obviously you had Wigan as a true tackle. You know, now he was on campus in January. I wouldn't say he's in the Paris Palmer category, but he still looks light for his frame. Light enough. He looked light enough to me.
Why do you think that is, though? Because Palmer's the same way coming out of Lackawanna. Yeah. I don't really understand why.
I don't really understand why either, unless it's part of what Penn State is trying to do to get them down and to get them back up again. I don't really have any other explanation for it.
Yeah, there's certainly something to be said about making sure guys don't come in with bad weight, because that's almost worse than being light. You know, if you're light, at least you can start in the right place and work your way up. But if you come in and you have bad weight, you have to get rid of it and then build yourself back up, it's going to take even longer to get on the field. So it's good from that perspective, but yeah. Still, I have a hard time seeing him being ready to play this fall.
I see it the same way. I think that he's an emergency guy, which they might just have an emergency. I don't know how prepared Penn State is to withstand an injury and still be in good shape at the tackle spots. I also think, we talked about the Lackawanna College thing, the junior college thing. This is one of the difficulties of recruiting junior college players, is that they're 2 years older. They're 2 years more experienced, or however much older they are. 2 years more experienced. They've been on the field. They've got maybe a little bit more savvy to their game. Their technique can be better. But in terms of the weight room and their strength and their conditioning, they're not necessarily 2 years better. They might not, in some cases, be much further down the line than they were coming out of high school.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think that is part of the Paris Palmer thing and maybe part of the Anthony Wigan thing. It's no disrespect to Lackawanna College, but it's just they don't have the same – if they were the same player in high school and they got in Penn State's strength and training program, they'd be in a lot different spot than they are right now. So being older is a good thing. It does make you, in some respects, more capable of playing immediately, but in a way like this, not necessarily so.
Yeah, no, not at all. And that's what makes it tough, I think, for fans to follow offensive line recruiting from time to time, because, you know, Ross can sit in here and tell us all about, you know, the strength of this offensive lineman compared to that offensive lineman and what have you. But really, at the end of the day, they can be tough to evaluate and tough to project for the future, because you just never know if a guy is as strong as he looks on film, or if he's not as strong, or if he should be playing guard, but he had to play tackle for his high school team. How long will it take him to adjust to a new position in college? You know, there's all these nuances that you just don't deal with when you have a quarterback or a running back or a wide receiver. And that can sometimes make, you know, even the biggest signees struggle a little bit out of the gate.
So the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by GoPSURV.com, where they've got a special June offer for the month of June only, a buy one, get one free sale for the Idaho game and the Buffalo game. You buy an RV, you get one for free for the same weekend. You also get a free 409 tailgate club meal for everybody in your party. The deal is good through the end of June, so I recommend checking out GoPSURV.com. ASAP, or you can reach out to Mark directly to learn some more about not only this deal, but what he's got going on for the 2019 season as well. It's creeping up less than 100 days now to the start of the season. 1-800-519-8467 to reach out to Mark, or as I mentioned, gopsurv.com. I want to ask you this question, just really big picture question, and I think for years, just the offensive line has been such a big talking point that you can't help but wonder, when will Penn State go from having an offensive line that I would say was maybe a hair above Big Ten average, let's say the past 2 years, hovering around Big Ten average, not Big Ten elite, which is what everybody's been kind of chomping at the bit for, but when will they go from having that type of unit to a dominant type unit? Do you see that in the way that they're recruiting, the issues that they have now from a depth perspective, and then the prospects that are coming in 19 and who are scheduled to come in 2020?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could sit here and tell you that it was going to be this year or it was going to be, you know, but we've all been burned by that so many times now, and just this idea that, you know, oh, they got to be better than they were last year. Oh, now this is the group that'll take the step forward. How can you think that when, or with any degree of confidence anyway, unless you're them? Or, you know, other than that, I mean, this is a group that lost two guys to the NFL. It does return Steven Gonzalez, Michael Bennett. But Rashid Walker, I mean, I really liked what I heard from him during the Class of 2018 media day up at Penn State a couple weeks ago. But Dustin, I mean, is he ready to step in there and be the guy? He's going to have to be ready pretty quickly because there's not really any other option. Then you have Will Fries, who, you know, has bounced back and forth the last couple of years and has kind of done a little bit of everything. And then you have, you know, the fact that Penn State wants to try and play two guys, play two guys at guard and CJ Thorpe and Mike Miranda. When's that ever worked out well? So I think this group has a lot more questions than some of its predecessors do, and that makes me struggle to think that, you know, they're going to take the next step.
Which I know that there's some, it's kind of understood that there were some unforeseen disruptions here, but when you're at this stage of the recruiting game, should you have this type of issue if you're James Franklin? Is there a miscalculation you can point to at some point in time? You know, especially when it comes to the tackles.
It's really just development, I think.
And you've had, you know, the Asidu thing. You had
And that's unfortunate.
Yeah. And that nobody's at blame for that. I think it's good on Penn State and good on modern medical technology for being able to assess that now. But you also had, what's his name, Robbie Martin, who stepped away from football. You had Ryan Bates leave early. You're trying to, it looks like that Bryce Effner will get a look at tackle because he looks like a tackle to me. You know, is he good enough to hold up on an every down basis in the Big Ten? We'll find out. But I think, as you mentioned, there are a lot more questions than there are answers right now. And that's, you know, at this stage of James Franklin's tenure, I think, frankly, that's a little disappointing.
It is. It definitely is. And I know that they had obviously a change in coach there when Herb Hand left and Matt Limegrover came in. But I like Matt Limegrover a lot, but there's a lot of people who question the development of this offensive line over the last few years, and it's hard to say they're not fair questions. And that makes this year big because developing Rashid Walker into a starting left tackle, developing the middle of that line into something the other teams fear, it's a big task, and they need to get it done.
It's also worth mentioning that not a lot of people are actually qualified to give a fair criticism of this group. That being said, we just did
agreed.
Anyway. Yeah. We got one more quarter to go in the Keystone Kickoff Show. Our player profile series continues right after this.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. Hey, Dustin Hawkinsmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.